Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 Friday afternoon, May 16th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us in the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. New college graduates face a competitive job market. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, home building dropped last month as import prices rose and consumer optimism fell for a fifth straight month. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, thank you for joining us today. And let's talk about the latest read on consumer sentiment, the survey from the University of Michigan, consumers becoming even more pessimistic about prices in the future. What does this latest survey tell us?
It tells us that consumers are not feeling good about the way the economy is going. They're very concerned about tariffs. They're concerned about higher prices from tariffs. And so, in particular, they're concerned about the future and how things are going to be 6 months from now.
Now, is this still a reliable measure of consumer sentiment? Because there have been a lot of questions in the last couple of years, how much of this is influenced by politics, how much of this is influenced by, and when I say politics, the political beliefs of the survey participants, how much of this is just a gas price indicator. What is the conventional wisdom when it comes to this survey?
You know, it reflects a number of different things. It reflects gas prices. It reflects what's going on with the stock market. It is certainly reflecting the political situation. And we have had periods where confidence has been low, sentiment has been low, but consumers have continued to spend. So we have had a big drop over the past few months, but it could be that if the labor market holds up, that this won't translate into a drop in consumer spending.
And we have some other numbers out today. U.S. single-family housing starts drop. And once again, this ties back into that tariff uncertainty.
That's right. I think it's a difficult time if you're looking to buy a new home. Home builders are feeling cautious. We're seeing prices of building materials go up in response to tariffs. So I think and mortgage rates remain elevated. So I think we're likely to see some softness in the single family market in particular continuing in the near term.
And especially with housing starts, new homes being built, so many people locked into those great mortgage rates from 5 or 6 years ago in their existing homes, that if you are in the market for a new home, new construction may be just where it's at for you.
That's exactly right. And so I think that the affordability issue is significant with higher mortgage rates. And so I think that we're likely to see low housing market activity through the rest of 2025.
Now, import prices rise unexpectedly in the month of April. Break this down for us, because if you're uninitiated and you hear this, of course the price of imports went up. All those tariffs were imposed. Is this tariff related?
This is not tariff-related. Tariffs are not included in the import price measure, so that will show up later in things like the consumer price index and the producer price index, but it's not going to show up here. And in fact, we might see a decline in the near term in import prices as demand falls with the tariff. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But this does not reflect tariffs, and I don't think it tells us anything about what the inflation outlook is going forward.
Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, as new grads face a tough job market, and we've got some expert advice coming up next.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
New college graduates face a tight job market with rising unemployment, fewer postings, and increased competition, all being factors. Joining us with some key advice on how to stand out in a crowded job market is Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today. And if you are a college graduate, or if you will be a college graduate in the coming days or weeks, and you're looking for that first post-graduation job, first off, if you are still looking right now as a graduate, does this mean you're out of luck?
No, it doesn't. The one thing that you have to do, that if you've been looking for a while and you're not having any luck, I think you need to have someone help you debrief on what might be going wrong. Are you answering questions perhaps not the best way? Are you trying to move too quickly through the process? What's the sources you're using for opportunities? The methodology, both strategically and the tactics day to day and in the interview process, really need to be looked at if you're not having success yet.
Now, I feel like I am not a good person to provide any personal experience on this particular topic, Rick, because I graduated on a Saturday afternoon, and on Monday, I was back at work at WTMJ in Milwaukee. So I already had my job lined up. I was already working on the job that would become my career. So, but for a lot of other people, either you have that job lined up, but some people actually just, they start looking after they graduate.
Right. So those that are not yet graduated, hopefully you have had an opportunity to do an internship. That's one of the best ways to sort of grease the skids in terms of you're going to the market. But here's the thing. Don't pay attention to how many postings there are. That's really disconnected from finding work. Job postings are about people who have an opening they're trying to fill. And I can put those postings out there, and I can not hire anyone for months based on that, and I can hire somebody internally or decide I don't want to do it. So it's a lot of activity and effort in something that you can't really control. You probably increase the likelihood you won't work somewhere by sending a resume in unsolicited to a company because it gives them the opportunity to filter you out. Unemployment and employment is 100%. You have a job, you don't. So what you're really looking at is how do I put myself in front of people who have the ability to offer me a job, independent of whether they actually have an opening right now or not. It's a game. It's sort of like it's dating, really, in some ways. You're just trying to get out there in the market, be seen, have conversations. People will hire the person that they like. That doesn't mean they want you to have their house for dinner or to sleep over. It means I feel good about you in the role. I can envision that. But if you're going through the sort of public market, postings online, letting the market tell you what's going on, being filtered through processes, you're spinning your wheels.
Now, we've talked about the power of networking before. For job seekers of all ages and all skill levels and all ranks on the organizational chart, but if you're still on campus and if there is a career placement office in which you can talk to an actual human being who can talk to other human beings, should you take advantage of that while it's still available to you?
And this is not going to be popular. I would say that's a secondary or tertiary effort. You have to control your job search, and the people that have the systems they are beholden to and spending a lot of time looking at the postings just like everybody else. I think you're looking to put yourself into play in as many places as you can. If you're in a pool with 300 other graduates of the same background going to the same place to source jobs, you're just putting yourself in a pool with competitors.
And then in terms of just cleaning up your social media presence, and I'm not talking about Facebook or TikTok or Twitter, but making sure you have an optimized LinkedIn profile. If you haven't landed the job just yet, making sure that exists is probably something you could do in the meantime.
Right. And again, that's a secondary issue. That's something you can do when off business hours. You can clean that up, because typically people aren't going to look at your LinkedIn profile or whatever profile they're looking at until they actually are considering you as a candidate. They're not, no one's combing LinkedIn to find out, to find the person. They're looking at that site or those sites to determine whether you really are who we think you are when we meet you or talk to you.
Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, one of the nation's largest trade shows brings chefs and restaurateurs from around the world to Chicago.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The National Restaurant Show kicks off in Chicago this weekend, showcasing food, tech, and the latest trends. It also brings big spending from industry pros ready to eat, drink, and indulge. Joining us with a preview is Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach in Chicago. Izzy, thank you for joining us today. And this event attracts tens of thousands of suppliers, executives, restaurant owners, and media reps from around the world. What is it like to be on the floor of the restaurant show?
Well, happily, the restaurant show over the last 2 years has grown really exponentially. Yeah, you know, after COVID, when we didn't have shows, it just keeps getting bigger. And this is certainly going to be one of the bigger ones probably in the last decade. Always a big show, one of the biggest restaurant shows in the world. And as you say, people from all over the world come here to display their wares at the show. And it'll be interesting this year because we have China is a big player at the restaurant show, as is, you know, Korea and Vietnam and Turkey. So we'll see how things are affected, but everybody brings everybody to this particular show.
Now, this is also a massive weekend, I would imagine, for the local restaurant industry, just because you have 60,000 exhibitors and the people associated with them, all of them educated palates, and they will be checking out your establishment. So if you're a restaurant owner, what do you do to make sure that the industry people walk out happy?
Well, you have to make sure that you take just the right amount of reservations, so when people walk in, they don't have to wait, you know, have a reservation and then wait another hour, because that will make them unhappy. Because these people come in, and certainly we know food, we know fun, and we know that these people have a pretty good size expense account to take out their vendors and clients. So there's a big opportunity for restaurants and servers and bartenders for this particular show, especially because we're all in the same industry. And I have to tell you, nobody tips bigger than people in the restaurant business when they go to restaurants.
And just like that conversation we had a couple of days ago about the value of working in a restaurant, you have walked a mile or done a shift in their shoes.
Absolutely. They know what it's like to be a server. They know what it's like to be a server on a very busy weekend. And what makes it even busier, besides the restaurant show being in town, we have a lot of college graduations. So it is a big, you know, celebratory weekend in Chicago. And restaurants just need to make sure better to not overbook and just take care of the people that are there. Have a great time. Their check averages will be higher. Their tips will be higher.
As if as a visitor or as a participant, as an exhibitor, what is the win for you at the restaurant show? What are you trying to get out of this experience?
A number of different things. I have my clients flying in from all over the country. We're opening up a dozen restaurants this year, and we are going to be looking at equipment, talking to equipment and many different vendors, and we are negotiating our final contract at the show, because we want to take advantage of show discounts, of you know, people ready to sell their product. So that's a big win for restaurants. The big win for the vendor is, again, vendors from all over the world get this opportunity to introduce their products to Americans and American restaurant business, and they want to make the most of it. So big opportunities on both sides.
Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, Giordano's celebrates iconic Chicago eats with collaborations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Markets are higher. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ryan Dietrich, Chief Market Strategist with the Carson Group in Omaha, Nebraska. Ryan, thank you for joining us today. And not only are markets are higher, they are actually gaining some momentum as the trading session rolls along. So it seems like the investors and the markets themselves want to put an exclamation point on what's been a very good week.
Yeah, Rob, thank you for having me back. And you're right. You know, we're looking at all 5 days this week being higher. We actually saw that just a couple weeks ago, right? I mean, so that's really rare by itself. But I know it's coming on to you just, you know, a month and a half ago. And what we were seeing was Mondays were big drops. Friday afternoon, everybody's selling because everyone's worried about holding over the weekend. And we said then, if we start to see strength on Fridays, that's the market's way of saying people are willing to hold over the weekend. They're not skittish. They're not selling. And like you said, there's not a ton of news today necessarily, honestly, but buyers are stepping in right ahead of this weekend, and that's a beautiful thing given where we were just 6 weeks ago.
And speaking of a relative lack of market movers today, we did have some new numbers out today, especially the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, which was rather pessimistic, and investors greeted that report with a collective shrug.
They did. Now, honestly, that data's been that way. I don't know. I think there's a little bit of politics in there when you look at specifically that one. I say, what are people doing versus what they're saying? We did get retail sales yesterday. Came in a tad on the weak side, but it's not like the consumer is just dropping off. And you look at how's the consumer really going to feel if they have jobs, right? I mean, the initial jobless claims came in yesterday. That's still kind of near the low end of things. This economy isn't perfect. There are some cracks. There's some slowing, yes. But I think, you know, what people are, how they say they feel versus what they're doing, it's much different. We like to follow what they're doing. The consumer is still out there spending money.
Now, the remarkable thing, I mean, obviously the news of the trade tariff with China that was announced late Sunday night, early Monday morning, kicked off the good vibes that lasted throughout the entire week. But what's also remarkable is taking a look at the VIX, the volatility gauge, which is now comfortably below 20. So the investors are buying, but on top of that, they're feeling pretty relaxed.
They are. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago. We had the VIX well up above 50, actually touching 60 intraday on one of those big, big sell-offs we had right after Liberation Day, or as we call it, Obliteration Day. But, you know, when you look at history, Rob, I found five times the VIX was up around 50 and then went back and closed beneath the 20 level. Well, only once in history did you go on to make new lows. That was in 2015, 2016. The other times, this is kind of a clue to us that the lows are indeed in. We've actually been saying that for a while. And you think of this week, we came out on Monday morning, gapped up 3%, one of the largest gaps we've seen since I think it was like right after the election back in 2020. Okay, so you're talking a long time. But the reality, we gained another 2% on the S&P. We're up like 5% on the week. I mean, this is a much different market than what we were seeing. It's kind of obvious, but at the same time, we've avoided the asteroid once again. All the bad stuff that was being priced into the market this time 5-6 weeks ago. It's not as bad. It's not great. I'm not saying it's great, but it's not as bad. Last comment on this, earnings season is pretty much wrapping up, right? Walmart kind of ends earnings season. We're looking at S&P 500 earnings up almost 14% year over year. It's supposed to be up less than 7% expected at the start of earnings season. So listen, that's a good thing. And again, with the trade and earnings and the economy not falling off a cliff, that is why we've absolutely soared back these last 5 weeks.
Ryan Dietrich, Chief Market Strategist with the Carson Group in Omaha, Nebraska. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, we'll talk to the CEO of Giordano's.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Hey, it's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour, and we check in with a legendary Chicago pizza business. And, of course, we're talking about Giordano's, which is launching its Chi-Town Flavors series, celebrating iconic Chicago foods through bold brand collaborations. Welcome in Nick Scarpino, who is the CEO of Giordano's in Chicago. Nick, thank you for joining us today. And Nick, I want to tell you right now, I am literally looking down on Giordano's, specifically your location in Prudential Plaza. We can see it outside the studio window. So if you ever need like a status update on how things are going at that particular restaurant, I'm your guy.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Come join us for lunch right after this. We'd love to host you.
Now, Chicago food is definitely having a moment right now. I mean, I think it's amazing. And this is just give you an idea of the just worldwide recognition of certain types of Chicago food that when we elected a pope last week, and not we, I mean, I'm not a member of the conclave, but when the Catholic Church elected a pope, the conclave elected a pope last week, and we found out he was from Chicago, the first thing was like, I wonder what his opinions are on Italian beef. Like that's how well known Italian beef and pizza are around the world, associated with the city of Chicago. So as the CEO of a company that is definitely at the top of the heap when it comes to people thinking about Chicago food, how do you stay fresh, and then how do you stay innovative in that environment?
Well, yeah, it's true. All eyes are certainly on Chicago these days. It's an honor to be a part of that conversation. You know, Giordano's just celebrated our 50-year anniversary, and we were thinking to ourselves, what better way to celebrate our own success, to thank Chicago for 50 great years of history, than to partner with other iconic Chicago brands and do some collaborations? And so the very first one that we're going to do is a collaboration with Bona Beef, and we're going to make an Italian beef pizza and launch it on National Italian Beef Day, which is just next week.
May 24th, so circle your calendars right now. Now, when you were testing out the Italian beef pizza and you hooked up with Buona Beef to make this a reality, how many different permutations did you go through before you settled on one that you thought, well, this is going to be a commercial success?
You know, probably countless. You know, some days at work are rough, and some days at work you're trying pizza after pizza after pizza. And so we really had to nail down how much Italian beef to make. So we were really experimenting in the final phases of this, how many ounces of beef to settle on. And so we dialed it in just right, and then we decided to top it with some giardiniera.
Now, this is, for whatever reason, Nick, this turned into Italian Beef Week on the Noon Business Hour, because we had Jeff Morrow on yesterday, the Food Network chef, talking about his Italian beef sandwich, and talking about the secret to a good beef sandwich is to make sure it has the right amount of gravy, giving that that perfect level of moisture when you bite into the sandwich. Now, when you bake an Italian beef pizza, how do you make sure that the Italian beef retains that level of moisture that you would get when you open up the bag and open up a sandwich and bite into it for the first time?
It's a very astute observation. It is true. So the unique thing about pizza is that it has other areas of moisture as well. So if you think about things like putting cheese on top, so we can get moisture from other areas, not just the Italian beef, but the Italian beef has to be seasoned perfectly, all the right seasonings. And then the combination of the gravy, spices, and cheese make it really, really moist.
It's also interesting that we were talking about collaborations or collabs, as the kids say today, and this is now a commonplace thing. And this seems to be an offshoot of Instagram or TikTok culture. This is the way social media has not only just influenced culture, but influenced business.
Yeah, you're totally right. It is absolutely something that the next generation looks for. They kind of expect it to happen. There's always a dichotomy of brands like ours that have been around for a long time, new brands that are coming up. And, you know, that next generation likes to see brands working with each other, and they get excited about things like this. So we're absolutely tapping into this kind of cultural moment that's happening.
Giordano's is 50 years old now. Could you ever or you or your predecessors have ever imagined in the 70s or even the 80s that Chicago style pizza not only would have this this global acclaim, but also that people would have very passionate opinions about what represents Chicago pizza, whether it's deep dish or the square cut, the thin crust, the tavern style?
That's right. I don't think my predecessors, I've talked to them about this, ever imagined that we would be here today. But I think they're thrilled and honored that when people think about Chicago and when they think about food, deep dish pizza is on the Mount Rushmore of Chicago style food. So it is truly an honor, and we love the debate about deep dish and tavern style, and we hope that it continues into the future.
Nick Scarpino, CEO of Giordano's in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. And, of course, check out their collaboration with Buona Beef, the Italian beef pizza, which will be released on National Italian Beef Day, which is May 24th. Begin counting the days.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Despite the recent comeback on Wall Street, it doesn't necessarily mean the bulls are back. Joining us to explain is Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com. Based in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And the vibes are unquestionably good, especially this week, but does the math add up?
Well, it's a great question. And in fact, I'll take a slight issue with how you put it there in the intro. I think the bulls are back. And as you know, from my contrarian point of view, it's actually a problem when the bulls are back. It's amazing how much the sentiment on Wall Street has changed just since April 2nd. You may recall, which was quote-unquote Liberation Day. And I think the market, I don't know, it depends on which average you look at, but dropped more than 10% over the next several trading sessions, hitting a low around April 9th, April 10th, again, depending on which average you look at. Since that low, the market is, as you say, had quite a different tone to it. The market's up quite a bit. But has the world changed all that much since then? And I think the bulls are getting a little ahead of themselves, and that's why I'm worried.
It does seem like that investors are grabbing onto any sliver of hope that maybe the tariff regime will go back to the way it was, and they will definitely ride any news of a possible agreement or framework of an agreement or concepts of an agreement or whatever you want to call it. And that has been driving the rally this week.
Well, that's right. And the premise of contrarian analysis is that when everyone thinks the world's coming to an end, they've probably exaggerated how bad it is. And then when they think happy days are here again and trees are going to grow to the sky and so forth, then they're over-exaggerating it from that side, too. And so, indeed, I think there were conversations you and I had in early April where I said that, the world wasn't coming to an end. And now we're having more or less the opposite conclusion. So, you know, it seems sort of a hackneyed phrase to say it, but the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Will this trend continue at least until the end of the 90-day pause? Are we just going to sit here and spin our wheels until we get to the end of the 90-day pause on the walloping tariffs with China, and then that is the next kind of signpost on the road?
Well, perhaps. I mean, you know, I think in general, if I were to say these are normal times, to put normal in quotes, I'd say that no, the market tends to anticipate the future. So they're not going to wait to the very end of that 90-day period to react. On the other hand, today is not a normal day. These are not normal times. And so the market is so reacting to the latest announcement from the White House and so forth. So it's anyone's bet. And of course, everyone's lying if they're going to try to predict which is going to happen from now.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com in Washington. Thank you for joining us today. If you missed any part of the Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going on. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.